everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing great, man. I'm excited. Some more plagues. I'm kind of hopped up on plagues right now, you know? You know, I've been thinking about it for
the days and days. Is that a frog pun, Daniel?
I wish I was that clever. Do you know, I was at the grocery store, and I live near a Chinese grocery store, and they have frozen frog legs there at the store. And I almost got some, and I didn't even make the connection, you know, from this. But I may actually go get some of those. Do you know frog legs? I don't know why they weren't like. I don't know what it takes for a restaurant to get enough frogs to, you know, have the, you know, infrastructure to serve frog legs, you know, on a regular basis. But it was always kind of a treat when you found that fish buffet that had the frog legs at the end of the fish, you know, in the catfish line.
We had a buffet in town that didn't have any other seafood, just frog legs. They were in some swampy land. I think they might have been gigging them themselves.
Yeah.
Daniel, are you playing with that screw in the top of a wine cork again?
Maybe. I was doing it while we were not recording, so I didn't. So I forgot what was going on. It's a good. I'm going to market this as a fidget spinner.
Daniel, you and I both have terrible habits of fidgeting with things during the recordings that show up in the recordings. But luckily, our guest here, the fantastic Mike from Normies Like Us, I doubt that he has terrible podcasting habits.
Oh, no. I'll be typing, like if I forget something, I'll look it up and you'll just hear me like, what movie was that guy in?
I kind of like hearing that noise on a podcast because it lets me know that someone's about to clear up that question they're arguing about.
We're sourcing the answer as we speak. Yeah.
We just make things up on this show, which is kind of given the topic, it doesn't always really matter. Like it kind of works sometimes, but
yeah. Well, my dad says if you don't know the answer to something, just say anything really confidently, and the other person doesn't know the answer either, so they'll probably buy it.
I used to think it was fun in high school to make up fake stats. that was one of my favorite pastimes. Later, I realized I was just being an asshole. but I thought it was funny.
He was trying to convince the ladies that, you know, tall, lanky, blonde-haired guys were, you know, statistically smarter and better looking than everyone else.
Listen, at the numbers.
I know you're not into me now, but statistically, I'm more attractive than your boyfriend.
Did you know that 75% of high school relationships do not last as long as you would think? Therefore, catch you, in 10 years.
Nothing has ever gone wrong with statistics and saying that blonde-haired people are more attractive.
No, never.
That's just the way to get the ladies.
Yeah. And speaking of stats, I think right now if we're tracking God plagues versus Pharaoh magicians, they're like at a strong 0-4 right now.
Well, they've only managed to replicate three things, I believe, and now they've just kind of given up. We haven't heard about the magicians in a second. If you missed episode 8 or Exodus 8, I highly recommend you go back and enjoy the plagues we saw last episode, which were the frogs, and then the gnats, and then the flies. Am I missing anything?
The gnats and or lice, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yep, just those three.
Well, let's see what's in store for our heroes next. And by heroes, I guess I mean Aaron and Moses. Pharaoh's firmly the bad guy.
I do want to point out something that I thought, and maybe it's not, it's probably not interesting, but when we started this whole thing, I do believe Aaron, there was a certain angle of it that Aaron was supposed to help Moses also talk to the Israelites.
Yes.
Kind of get them on his side. But now Moses seems to be the only one who's speaking. Like he's actually like, it'll say Moses replies like this or Moses replies like that. Now Aaron is just having to do the tasks. He's just like, okay, first I seemed like I was over here like winning the Israelites over for you. And now you're you don't even want to bang the staff on the ground. I got to bang the staff on the ground.
Like, see, sucks. I think it's a privilege to bang the staff on the ground. But I think we also might be able to assume that when it says Moses said, it could be, you know, Aaron speaking Moses' words.
Mm-hmm, that's fair.
Mm.
But, you know, we'll never know until we get to heaven.
Yeah,
then we can ask Aaron ourselves.
And then we'll hear the tapping of a keyboard as he looks it up.
All right, this is Exodus 9, which kicks off with, I've got a title here that says, The Plague on Livestock. So here it is, Exodus chapter 9. The Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, This is what the Lord God of the Hebrews says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, donkeys, and camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day, the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh investigated and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go.
Oh,
wowzers. That's like, this is the heaviest monetary impact, I would think, so far.
Yeah, this is, yeah, all livestock, right? It's going to affect food supply. It's going to affect trade. Just the general people, like citizens, are going to suffer the most from this, I think, from starvation.
No more animal labor.
Yeah.
Pulling those stones around to mm-hmm. make those monuments. In The Prince of Egypt, we learned that it was Moses who knocked the nose off the Sphinx.
Ah.
I forgot about that.
I wish that was in here.
It was Val Kilmer who did that.
Well, this is kind of like, you know, I guess it's kind of like true to life a little bit. Because, like, if you take something like global warming, it's like, we'll deal with, you know, some storms and stuff and whatnot. But if, like, global warming were to affect, say, you know, the fast food chain's ability to keep, you know, beef around, I think maybe everyone would be a little bit more worried.
Yeah, that's true. It's just like, not so pressing. Supplies. Yeah, I can still get my McDouble, so who the fuck cares? But, yeah.
Unfortunately, by the time the beef supply is impacted, it'll be too late. Stay woke, y'all. Global warming. It's going to take us out.
Yeah. I watched the Prince of Egypt, the montage of the plagues you guys mentioned last week, and it's like, yeah, the montage works, but they do make it seem pretty devastating, too. Like, when all the cattle's dying, it's like, oh, man. But God is just like, straight up, I will kill my creations so that you understand how powerful I am, and like, let my people go. It's like, bro, this is my favorite God. Like, my favorite iteration, right?
Yeah, that montage does get pretty heavy. It's not pulling punches. Although, no. Our next plague is called the Plague of Hail. And from what I can deduce, in The Prince of Egypt, they just turn it into fireballs coming down from the sky.
Well, in the LeBron James version that I have here, they mention that it's like hail and fire. And then the two things were like setting aside their differences to coexist to show that like fire and hail will work together to decimate the lands under God's like will.
Mike, this is, I'm glad you read the King James version, because this is definitely some of the biggest discrepancies we've mm-hmm. ever had between two versions of the Bible.
And I wasn't sure which one to grab, but I, like said last week, I had this in my car. I was like, oh yes, finally, 10 years later, a use for this.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, one thing that I do find interesting about the God of now, in the past, I think this is the God of now is dealing with like a population issue, because in the past, if he had these problems, he would just destroy the people. You know,
yeah.
You know, he would create a flood, or if a certain town was doing bad, he would burn it to the ground, you know, the
way just raise it.
Yeah. But now I see he seems to have he's having to go through a lot more trouble to get change to happen.
He's evolving as a lord, you know.
Yeah.
He's trying to harden hearts and minds out here.
Well, I misspoke when I said the next plague was hail. I guess that was a spoiler. Right now, we're moving on to the plague of boils. This is verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on people and animals throughout the land. I thought the animals were dead. I guess there are dogs and cats.
The boils are still popping up.
They're on the dead
bodies.
I mean, it would make sense that if you kill all of the livestock via a plague, that it might have some health effects on everyone in the city.
Yeah.
This is verse 10. So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on people and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Here it is. The Lord's doing it.
Finally taking out the magicians. They could no longer kind of do anything because they're so boiled up. they can no longer try to defend the Pharaoh's gods with their mystic powers, you know? And I love the pageantry of just throwing ash into the air.
And then everyone, this is the most instantly terrifying plague,
yeah,
for sure. Just like, here's some poison gas, basically. And
biowarfare, yeah.
We're to believe that the Pharaoh would be ready to relent at this point if God didn't harden his heart, yeah, which is something I've harped on over and over and over, is God taking away Pharaoh's free will so he can do some more scary deeds.
Is it like a chicken or the egg? Like, he was already predisposed to harden, so God is just like, this is how you are, and this is the consequence for being stubborn? Or is it the other way where, you know?
Well, he mentioned this several chapters back. He told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Mm.
And I believe
I go through all this.
I believe the text has said that he has already done it once. Like, I believe he said that he hardened his heart at some point. I think we have an opportunity to make a reading heathen's choice here. And I think personally, I think the Lord's been hardening this heart the whole time. I think he's had a hand in the hardening. Even if when it said Pharaoh did it, I think it was the Lord.
So this is it's essentially, you know, starting the Clone Wars, right? You're creating a problem that you can solve to look like the hero then? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
It was Palpatine all along.
I need Pharaoh to be the villain. Right. I need Pharaoh to be a villain so that I can save my people. Like, if you're hardening his heart, but then you want Moses to let your people go, I don't know. It seems a little contrived.
Do you think that Moses went into the temple to see Pharaoh and he opened a window and showed them how the plague was destroying his, destroying Egypt?
Yeah, he definitely made him look out a window and said, your faith in your friends, it's your weakness.
Silly magicians. Well, next up, we have that plague I mentioned earlier, the plague of hail. This is a doozy. This is several verses, so we'll take pauses as we go.
Yeah.
This is verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and your officials and your people, so you may know there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt, from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every person and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. So we get God's motives. God's just trying to raise his clout.
Yeah,
right.
he's doing this specifically so that people will talk about it. And I guess we also can't assume that this has only been a few days, because all the livestock were dead and now they seem to have repopulated some. Mm-hmm.
Well, the ones in Egypt were dead. They probably were like, all right, let me go to some bordering nations, get some more livestock in here as quick as we can.
We'll sell them some frog legs.
Yeah, we got an excess. Yeah, right. You turn a negative into a positive. What do we have an excess of? Frogs. Okay, how can we turn a profit on these baddies?
When God gives you a frog, make some of them frog legs.
Yeah, that's right.
Get some Cajun seasoning salt.
Well, we have a classic Quest Bible cover up, as I'll call it, or a storytelling, because it says, hadn't the livestock been destroyed earlier? That's the question.
All right.
And they say the earlier plague destroyed all the livestock in the field. Some Egyptian officials, believing Moses, saved their livestock by putting them in shelters. Says the Quest Bible.
Wow, that's really reaching. That's
That seems like what God is saying now. He's like, hey, I'm going to hail down on everything. But if you believe that that's going to happen and believe in my power, take them inside. Yeah. So he's like giving them that option now, but that wasn't an option before. And I don't know how going indoors would stop a pestilence.
Yeah, that's very strange.
Yeah, because it does seem like he just smited the cows. Like, it didn't seem like any reason. It was just like they were smitten.
And I don't think a structure would offer any defensive, you know, benefit for the cows, like being indoors or outdoors in that smiting.
Well, when we watched DreamWorks' Prince of Egypt, Daniel and I were confused because at the end, when they're fleeing Egypt, these two Egyptian, what appeared to be Egyptian, like slave drivers, drop their swords and just kind of go along with the Israelites. And it's just two of them, and they're there the whole time. And I guess that's to represent this constituency of Egyptians that were like, we better listen to this scary god. So I guess God did leave a little room for some people to, you know, make their own choices and be saved for it.
Yeah.
He's just mostly pissed off at Pharaoh. His beef is with Pharaoh, not letting the people go. But the citizens of Egypt, I guess they could change their, they could soften their heart and come to his side.
Yeah, gotta get some of those converts, which is interesting because I didn't think there was any attention paid to anyone but Pharaoh. So yeah, here in verse 20, those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. So God is just raining down hail on top of his own people who are slaves in the field.
Right. And in, you know, like the King James Version, also there is fire intermingled with the hail to just give them the best of both worlds.
So here in verse 22, Moses gets to do the deed instead of Aaron. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on the people and animals, and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt. When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell, and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both people and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. you don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, When I have gone out of this city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripen later. Then okay. Moses left Pharaoh Checkmate. And went out of the city. He spread out his hands toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Wow. Got some Herman Melville style, like, little scientific info stuck in.
Right.
That's kind of cool. It's kind of gives this value as a historical document, just like, hey, guys, guess what? We got farming figured out.
It's like, yeah, so gave Pharaoh a reason to be like, just kidding again. He's like, no, I got wheat. We got wheat. We'll be fine. That was, you know, blooms later. We're good. Some of the pros in these where it's like, I'm going to go to the sandwich or go to the kitchen to make a sandwich. And then he went to the kitchen and made that sandwich. Like, it's very like, you know, this is what's going to happen.
The Bible's really good at that, and just to pat myself on the back, you know, I posited that it's because it was an oral tradition for a long time, and that's that idea has been confirmed by several expert sources, such as the Quest Bible. This is all meant to be memorized and passed down, so you got to repeat it inside the poem itself.
The Blue's Clues method, yeah. We'll run the same episode every day of the week. I feel like, I don't know how Pharaoh has, you know, so much gusto to be like, I have every cow in my nation destroyed, like the flies, all the boils, like all my people have this disease boil on them. And like still like, nah, that's not, I'm not impressed.
Dude, I think it's God hardening his heart. He's like, he keeps listening down to earth and he's like, are people talking about me yet? No.
So this is just a big PR stunt that Pharaoh's trapped in the middle of. Oh, man.
Absolutely. That's, you know, I think it might be later in the Bible that we have some prophets doing some PR work for God, where they're like, God, you might not want to do that because people won't like it.
That's what he really needs, a good PR department, because it's like, so this guy who killed all your cows, you know, you could probably worship him. It's like, that was kind of a dick move. But okay.
Yeah, he really isn't. I don't know. It's kind of a hard thing to decide, because you grow up for years it being kind of like a good versus evil type of situation, and then I don't know, I'm left to be a little, I don't know, feeling a little soft for the old slave drivers. But this also shows how like into slavery people are. I mean, it's kind of true to life that they so much of their economy, I guess, is built on slavery. They gotta have it. They just can't even let them go for a 3-day worship period.
Yeah, or else you have to then put, you know, most of your population to like physical labor if you're gonna keep building the monuments.
Yeah, and now like your land is all wrecked, so you can't even appease your gods with those monuments because they're like too dirty and
they got frog guts all over them.
Yeah, that's not gonna please the gods. It's all gutsy.
Dude, it stinks.
Right.
The Bible doesn't cover here. Moses is like, all right, I'll stop the storm when we're out of the city. And then he leaves the city and stops the storm. And I guess Moses wasn't followed by his people out of the city. Or maybe they just wrangled them all back. It's a little confusing to me.
It's a little weird. I mean, I hate going to the Quest Bible this much in one episode, but there was a short line in that it did talk about how was Moses going back and forth to talk to Pharaoh while there was a epic hailstorm going on. You know,
I assumed umbrella.
His staff turned into an umbrella when he went.
He just pushed the wood up and it. Yeah.
But they,
how did he do it?
They were saying, that it was only falling in certain places. But I don't know. To me, the Bible seems to make it very clear it's falling over all of Egypt. It's smashing everything.
Except for Goshen, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
So I don't,
I mean,
I don't
maybe
know. Maybe
God
is
just has a halo of protection around Moses.
Moses. It's just like a column where it's just completely dry and cool where he's walking, like a spotlight.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be pretty rad.
I like to imagine whatever the border of Egypt is, there's just this straight wall where there's just fire and hail, and then like uh-huh. one step away, it's a perfect day. Nice afternoon. Like, oh, yeah, the Egyptians pissed off that god guy again.
They're just chewing on frog legs.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's a good deal. Good thing we got rid of those excess cows.
Well, how would you guys rate this fiery chapter?
I guess I'll go. I'll give this a 5 out of 5 because we're getting some serious smiting. We're getting like manipulation of the enemy to continue to keep him your enemy. Yeah, it's just like this is the best like fire and brimstone like since the Noah's Ark, since the flood. Like, you know, we haven't maybe seen this much just raw power.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like that.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I agree. I agree with you on that because it's like, I don't know if we've ever gotten this much detail. Not that we're getting a ton of detail, but like usually don't get any detail in a Bible story. But yeah, it's just like it's getting very cinematic, even though it's over a few chapters. I don't know. I'm really digging this, and then it keeps going. Like we're not even finished with all the plagues. Like
no,
like there's some more to happen. So yeah, I agree. I'm gonna go with a solid. This is a solid 4 hailstones.
Hail yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give this. I'm also gonna go with a 5 on this one. I'll give it 5 fiery lightning bolts because I just don't see the Bible cramming more fire and brimstone into one chapter. Like this has got to be one of the highlights of the whole book. We got 3 plagues, dead livestock, boils, hail. So I just don't see it getting much better than this, Daniel.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe we should just stop now. That's what we think about every week.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the pod, finally. Hope to have you back on again someday.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to listen next week because I need to hear more about these plagues that are still going on. Like this is like really the best. I think I really lucked out with the timing for being on the show, and maybe in about 50 years when you get to the Book of Romans I can come back on for, yeah. for that.
that's your namesake. That's your book.
Yeah, exactly. So
do you have any idea what Romans is about?
I assume it's people interacting with Jesus and their opinions thereof. I'm not sure though.
Well, we'll find out, as you said, in about 50 years.
Hopefully I can be on before that at some point. It's been an absolute blast, guys. Thank you
Absolutely.
For having me
thank
on.
You, thank you.
Would you plug your podcast one more time there, Mike?
Yeah, it's Normies Like Us, weekly pop culture podcast. You can find that at normieslikeus.com, iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, any of your podcatcher of choice. We appreciate listening, and yeah, take a listen.
And I know so many of you out there listening right now are big fans of me. You can catch me on a few episodes of Normies Like Us, specifically Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and Star Wars The Return of the Jedi.
I think we're seeing
a lot of Star Wars in the last couple months.
And you can catch us reading heathens at Hosted Pod on Instagram, hostedpod at Gmail, twitch.tv/hostedpod. We're doing things over there.
Yeah, bunch of fun things. New things are coming too. Get ready.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll see y'all on the next episode of Reading Heathens. Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya.